May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Redeemer. Amen. I want to start by giving a great big thank you to Noel. Last week, you may remember that I was talking about soccer shirts and I showed you my Honduras shirt. Well, on his way into church this morning, Noel gave me his national shirt. So here we have, I've now got a Nicaragua shirt. Isn't that brilliant? Amazing. What a tremendous gift. Thank you, Noel. So I'm kind of wondering, if I mention a Ferrari in this sermon, one of the greatest joys in life must be finding a bargain. There's nothing like that deep sense of triumph when you go to a yard sale and find something you really need for 50 cents. It's like you have overcome the saber-toothed tiger and tonight your family will eat well around the campfire. It's the joy of Morris Park, a British antiques dealer. After paying £3.20 for an old metal movie reel can on eBay and then finding inside a never-released 7-minute film featuring Charlie Chaplin from 1916. It's been valued by an auctioneer at £1 million. Scanning the ordinary and finding the priceless. It's the joy of Kent Devey when he paid $25 for a used BlackBerry and later discovered the device contained the phone numbers and email addresses of 50 A-list celebrities, including Academy Award winners like Natalie Portman. Imagine what a gossip magazine or a tabloid newspaper will pay for that. It's the joy of Lutheran pastor Mike Ernst of Hales Corners, Wisconsin, when he stumbled across a rusty Chevy Corvette from the 1960s. When he took it home to his barn and began the slow work of restoration, it soon became clear that this was no ordinary Corvette. This old clunker turned out to be the glorious 1962 Gulf Oil Corvette, a car that won Daytona and elsewhere 12 times. He paid $3,000 for it and sold it for just under $1.5 million. Scanning the ordinary and finding the priceless. It's the joy of the men in the parables we read in today's gospel reading, scanning the ordinary and finding the priceless. The kingdom of heaven, says Jesus, is like treasure in a field, which someone happens to find, so he hides it again, and then in joy he goes and sells all he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, scouring the market stalls, and on finding one pearl of great value, he goes and sells all he has and buys it. Scanning the ordinary and finding the priceless. This is the story of the professional antique dealers who queue an hour before our church bazaar opens so they can be first in the treasure attic and maybe find the priceless in the ordinary. The joy, the absolute bliss of finding a bargain so good that you are prepared to sell everything you have in order to have it. A treasure so priceless that you'd eagerly give up everything you own to possess it. What can this be? Can you imagine selling all your investments, policies, pensions, selling your house and everything in it, and then taking all that money and handing it to someone in exchange for one item. Selling all you have to buy a painting by Monet, or the world's biggest diamond, or a treasure chest full of Spanish gold from a 400-year-old shipwreck. How high would you go? For what would you give up everything? I'm cautious by nature, and before I sold anything, I'd have to be certain it was worth it. I'd have to have absolute proof that this really was a Monet, that that huge diamond wasn't just paste, and that that was real gold in that treasure chest. I'd have experts on hand to test it and pronounce it authentic, and I'd need someone from the Antiques Roadshow or Sotheby's to confirm that the price on the open market really was much higher than what I was about to pay. But even then I'd wonder, could I take such a risk? What if I make the trade and then the market for works of art or diamonds or Spanish doubloons falls through the floor, which they can do? What if 5,000 other lost works of Monet are discovered and the one I had just given up everything for has become worth only a few hundred bucks? Then I'd have nothing except a picture, and I don't even like the Impressionists. What if a diamond mine the size of Texas is discovered with diamonds as big as apples, and suddenly my big diamond was worth only a fraction I'd paid for it? Then I'd have nothing but a pretty see-through rock. So what could it be, this buried treasure, this priceless pearl, this hidden thing that's worth so much? Well, Jesus tells us plainly, it's the kingdom of heaven. The other gospel writers call it the kingdom of God. Matthew prefers the kingdom of heaven, but they mean the same thing. And it's not the place where we go when we die. The kingdom of God is much more than our eventual home with God beyond death. The kingdom of God is now, too. The kingdom of God is here. It's everywhere where God is worshipped as Lord. Just as the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland is the place where Charles III is recognized and honored as sovereign, the kingdom of God is the places and the people where Christ is welcome to be governor. So that life of peace and joy and love and forgiveness and reconciliation and meaning and purpose and vision and energy and compassion, that is the kingdom of heaven, and it's worth all you have. Seriously, everything you own added together is worth that relationship of peace and purpose with God. And here's the thing. It's near, it's here, it's only a prayer away. Somewhere else, Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is within you, in the heart that has become the home of God. Earlier in this passage, we read Jesus saying that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It's tiny, but eventually it blossoms into a great plant that reaches out to become home to birds, as well as being a useful herb in the kitchen. So the seeds of God's kingdom are in you and me. Your seed may be very small, but if we let it grow, then it transforms our lives and touches many, many people around us. And again, Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman kneads into a batch of dough. And although it's tiny, it has powerful influence in every part of the dough. It makes the whole batch rise and becomes a life-giving loaf for the enjoyment of many. So deep within us is the yeast of the kingdom of God. As we let it mix in our lives and spread through every part of us, our thinking, our decision-making, our relationships, the way we see the world, so we will bring change to ourselves and to our friends and families and neighborhoods. And that is God's kingdom. Mustard seed, yeast, hidden treasure, priceless pearl. The kingdom of heaven is within you. Let it take root, let it grow, and eventually influence all we do. Once upon a time, there was a faraway land that was ruled by a cruel and godless king. His iron hand reached into every corner of his people's lives. Every corner, that is, except one. He could not destroy their belief in God. He passed all manner of laws banning faith and devised countless punishments for those who persisted, but to no avail. Finally, in his frustration, he summoned his advisors and asked them, "Where can I hide God so that people will forget about him?" One suggested hiding God on the dark side of the moon. That was discussed but voted down because scientists said that one day mankind would be able to travel into space and God would be rediscovered. Another suggested burying God in the deepest part of the deepest ocean. This too was rejected, as was every other idea that the court came up with, until the oldest and wisest advisor had a flash of insight. Let us hide God where no one will ever think to look, he said. Let us hide God in the ordinary events of people's everyday lives. And so it was done. And they say that the people of that land are still looking for God. But you know how it is. The fake treasure looks so genuine. The knockoff pearl seems so real. Instead of buried treasure, I often settle for shiny imitations that sparkle and mesmerize, but that soon lose their gleam. Instead of the priceless pearl, I'm distracted by the plastic ones you get in those machines at the penny arcade where the big claw comes down and grabs something precious and drops it in the tray from where you excitedly retrieve it, and within seconds it's exposed as a fraud. Where are you going this week? The kingdom of God is there. You will scan the ordinary and find the priceless. Maybe you will actively look for it like the merchant with the trained eye who spots the priceless pearl. Maybe, like the man who found the treasure in the field, you won't be looking for the kingdom, but it will find you. You'll be waist deep in the ordinary. You'll be distracted by the mundane, absorbed by the routine, and it will catch your eye. Maybe it will sparkle at you out of the corner of the laundry or the emails or the kids' schedule, because the kingdom of God is near, it's here, and it's in you. So when you see it, celebrate it. It may be in a surprising place, a place of suffering, even the place of death. It may be in the sadness, the pain, the seemingly hopeless, but that is where the kingdom of God lives. It's near, it's here, and it's in you. This week, let's go kingdom spotting. Oh, and don't just spot it, but let it grow. Like the mustard seed, let God's kingdom become unruly. Let it run wild and get totally out of hand. Don't get in the way, put barriers around, stifle its growth. And like the yeast, let its presence and its aroma and its taste influence all around. Let there be not one square inch of your life and your world that is untouched by the yeast of the kingdom. I heard a new phrase this week: loneliness influencers. These are often young, single women who work remotely and who document and romanticize on TikTok and Instagram lives spent entirely alone. My advice is, don't be that kind of influencer. Be the one that takes the yeast of the kingdom and lets it spread. May it be that this time next week we can each say that we saw God's kingdom come through our own influence. Because the kingdom of God is near, it's here, and it's in you. Amen.
Amen.